in tech, even with augmentation. I work on the damn things, and half the time I don't know what I'm doing. On reflection, it was not the best thing to say to someone nervous of using a runcible. The man stared at him, while Freeman finished his coffee and looked yearningly back at the dispensing machine. There might just be time for another one before his slot.
"It's my slot shortly. I'm off. Don't worry, it's perfectly safe. Runcibles hardly ever go wrong."
Shit. Did it again.
As he moved off across the mosaic floor, Freeman felt his head lightening as the black cloud of extreme hangover lifted. He regretted that he had not put that guy's fears to rest, but then nothing but a number of further trips through the gate would do that. With runcible transmissions of quince, i.e. Mitter travellers, amounting to somewhere in the billions for every hour Solstan, and only the minutest fraction of 1% of them coming to harm in transit, it was more dangerous crossing this floor. At the far end of the lounge were the gates to the runcibles, and near them was a vending machine. Freeman saw there were three people waiting before gate two, one catadapt and two human normals. The catadapt was using the coffee machine. He felt a horrible, sinking sensation. Half catadapt. It was her. The orange and pink fur in a V down her back was very distinctive, as was the plait from her hair woven down the middle of it. Instead of going over to his gate, he halted by a pillar and studied the news screen mounted there, the usual media pap, but at least he did not have to speak to it. From the corner of his eye he saw her drinking her coffee as if she really needed it, gulping it down. She then ran to the gate and through, discarding her cup on the floor. Was she suffering too? Wouldn't it be the limit if she had been going to Samarkand? The other two people also went through. They must have been heading for the same place, or else resetting would have taken longer. He headed over to the gate, pausing for only a moment as the black horseshoe crab of a cleaning robot hummed past, trailing the acrid odour of strong carpet cleaner. He had a flash of memory. There had definitely been a carpet. He felt a further lifting of the cloud. There had been no carpets on the dance floor. By the departure gate, Freeman pressed his hand to a plate on the log-on column. His identity, credit rating, and destination appeared on a screen to the left of his hand. He pressed again to confirm. The door before him opened, and he stepped through onto a moving walkway. This took him through a long corridor, ribbed like the gullet of some reptile, then to a door leading to the runcible chamber. The chamber was a 30-metre sphere of mirrored glass, floored with black glass. The runcible itself stood at the centre of this, mounted on a stepped pedestal. It might have been the altar to some cybernetic god of technology. Nacreous, 10-metre-long, incurving bull's horns jutted up from the pedestal. Between them shimmered the cusp of a Skydon warp, or the spoon, as it was now called, hence the weird nomenclature Skydon technology had acquired. Five-dimensional singularity mechanics. Skydon warp. Skydon technology. Much as he hated to admit it, Freeman preferred the runcible spoons and quince of Edward Lear's nonsense poem. He did not like the bit about quince being sliced, since quince was the collective noun for those who travelled using the runcibles. Most people knew the ancient poem now, and Freeman wondered what Lear would think of this novel use of his words. He walked up to the pedestal, mounted the steps to the cusp, stepped through, and was gone. Shoved into underspace, dragged between shadow stars, Freeman travelled, thumbing his nose at relativity, in the cusp of a technology his unaugmented mind could not comprehend.